1974, a singer named Matt Davis introduced a song to the world called It's Hard to Be Humble. You may recall that song. Maybe some of you secretly sang it to yourself. But we understand that you look at the lyrics of the song. Unfortunately, it may have more truth to it in some cases other than fiction. Some lyrics in the song obviously, you know, are very, very arrogant and so on as you think about the song. But part of the lyrics of the song say, "Lord, it's hard to be humble." It goes on to say, when you're perfect in every way. Well, none of us, of course, are that. And the song might even be a little blasphemous in that respect. But just think about that phrase for a moment. Lord, it's hard to be humble. There's probably more truth in that than there is fiction. Because, unfortunately, one of the great sins that we fall victim to is pride. And a lack of humility can be a tremendous problem for any person. You don't like to deal with prideful people. You don't like to deal with people who have no humility. And so, unfortunately, that can happen to each and every one of us. Well, God knew that we would need a lot of instruction in this area. God knew that we would need a lot of reminding about humility. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 this morning. That will be our text, Philippians chapter 2. But as we look at this text, we're going to see the supreme example of humility. And really, you'll understand that the heart of our text will come from verses 5 through 11 in chapter 2. But to get a good understanding of what 5 through 11 means, you have to back up a little bit and look at least at the first four verses of the chapter, because they set the reason for why the statements are made in verses 5 through 11. Because the congregation at Philippi is being encouraged by an inspired apostle about humility. And a supreme example of Jesus is used to illustrate this. As you look at verses 1 through 4, we're not spending a lot of time on them in this introductory fashion, but as you look at those verses, it says, "Therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy." Now here's where it really begins to stress this. "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." You know, as you look at those verses in the first four of this chapter, you see how that it just kind of builds and builds and builds to this ultimate understanding of humility. In order for us to look out for the interests of others, in order for us to have lowliness of mind, in order for us to esteem others better than ourselves, we cannot have pride filling our hearts. We cannot be people of pride. We have to be people of humility. And so in order to really drive this home for those people in Philippi, and ultimately for you and me today, the Bible gives to us what we might expect to be the supreme example. How can we expect to develop these qualities? How can we expect to develop the quality of lowliness of mind? How can we expect to develop the mindset that esteems others better than myself? How can we expect to develop a mindset of looking out for the interests of other people? How do we develop that mindset? Well, the imitation of this pattern needs an adequate example, an adequate pattern. And it's found in Jesus. And so that's why you begin reading what you do in verse 5. If you've got to have lowliness of mind, esteem others, and look out for others, then what? Verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's where it's got to come from. Food, just Jesus. Food. Being in the very form of God. Did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, being found in the likeness of a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, as we look at the real heart of our message today, in verses 5 through 11, I want us to notice three things about Jesus as our supreme example of humility. Number one, we're going to see who he rightfully was. Number two, you will see from this text who he voluntarily became. Number three, from this text, you will see who he is now. Number one, who he rightfully was, or maybe you should say who he rightfully is, but who he rightfully was. Well, as you look at the text, the mind that we're to have in us, that is the mind that will create humility, the mind that will esteem others, the mind that will look out for the interests of others, the mind that will have lowliness of mind, that mind of Christ is, number one, who he rightfully was, equal with God. That's who he was to start with. You see, the Bible here is going to drive home a point about how you and I ought to behave, the kind of humility you and I ought to have, and Christ is the example. Well, to understand the degree of humility that Jesus had, you first got to understand who he really is. Who he really rightfully was before he came to the earth. Who was he? Well, he was equal with God. In fact, the Bible says here that he was in the very form of God. And you know, there's much discussion over the exact meaning of every little nuance of what that sentence means. But I think that it is awfully clear. It is completely undeniable that equality with God is what the Bible means. Jesus is God. And that he was in the form of God. And being in the form of God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. You may recall on several occasions that Jesus said of himself, "My Father and I are one." And that he stressed that equality that he had with God. And he prayed about it in John 17. But for us to understand the degree of humility that we have, need to have, and Jesus is our supreme example, we've got to see exactly what he did. And first of all, we've got to see who he rightfully is. And that's God. He was in the very form of God. And he did not have to work for equality with God. He did not have to, as some translations suggest, or some scholars suggest, the meaning of the word here about do not consider it robbery, that he did not have to snatch it. He didn't have to take it. It was something that he already owned. It was something that he already had. It's something that he already was. Jesus was, is God. But then, once you've got that concept very firmly planted in your mind, remember this lesson is about humility. This lesson is about how Christ is our supreme example of what you and I should be. And the Bible says, number one, that Jesus rightfully is God. But secondly, this is what He voluntarily became. This is who God became. This is who the one in the form of God. This is the one who was equal with God. This is the one who did not have to snatch His identity or His deity or His equality out of thin air. But He voluntarily became something else. As you continue looking at the text, verse 7, but made Himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being found in the likeness of the fashion of a man. And being found in that appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So who did Jesus voluntarily become? See, this is about humility. This is about a lack of pride. This is stressing for you and me the supreme example of how I arrive at that condition. Remember back up in verses particularly 3 and 4? Lowliness of mind. Esteeming others better than myself. Looking out for the interests of others. How do I get there? How do I become that kind of person? How do I arrive there? Well, you look to Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. If you're having trouble with humility, if you're having a lot of problem with pride, if you do not recognize yourself in verses 3 and 4, if you do not see yourself as somebody who's really esteeming others better than yourself, if you're not the kind of person that's looking out for the interests of other people, then you need to look to Jesus. And you need to let this mind be in you which was in Jesus, because number one, He was God. But then look what He became. About four or five things that He became voluntarily. Number one, He emptied Himself, some translations say. He emptied Himself and became as one of no reputation. It is the very opposite of self-seeking. It is the very opposite of pride. It is the very opposite of asserting my authority and my credentials. It is an emptying of self. Secondly, you'll notice that He took on the form of a servant. This is a dramatic change of form to go from being God to being servant. Some translations there say servant. Some say bond servant. The idea there really is a lowly slave. Not somebody who has any kind of position or any kind of notoriety. Remember it says no reputation, an emptying of self. So He did that. And He took on the form of a servant, of a servant, of one who had no rights, one who had no status, one who had no visibility. And then you notice voluntarily, He emptied Himself, He took on the form of a servant, and then the text says in verse 7 that He came in the likeness of men. He came to be one of us, to provide for us the perfect example of a man and humility. A man with a lack of pride Himself. The Creator became His creation. And He condescended Himself. He emptied Himself to become a servant in the form of a man. Voluntarily.
But it doesn't end there. You keep reading in the next verse that he was found in the appearance as a man, and he humbled himself and became obedient to death,
even the death of the cross.
So you see how there's this self-humbling. He humbled himself, verse 8 says. It wasn't forced upon him. It wasn't that he tried to be something and got called out, and then with embarrassment he had to become this lowly, empty servant. He voluntarily took on this role. He voluntarily emptied himself. He voluntarily became a servant. He voluntarily became a man. He voluntarily humbled himself and was obedient. The lawgiver, the lawmaker, conformed himself to his laws. And he became obedient to the point of death.
Even the death of the cross. And we have to understand the humiliating experience of dying on the cross, even for an ordinary man. But this was God.
Sinless, holy, all-powerful God. And now, at the very hands of His own creation, He is mercilessly murdered. All out of the spirit of obedience and fulfillment of God's will. You see, Jesus did all of this voluntarily. As God, He could not die. So He became a man to solve our greatest problem of sin, because someone had to pay the price for sin. Someone had to die for sin. Man's sin, your sin, my sin, all sin of all men and women. Someone had to die. God, in His divine love for each and every one of us, devised the path of salvation, the plan of salvation, that He would sentence His own Son to die, His own self to die, in our place. But God could not die. God cannot die. So God became a man in order to die for me. Voluntarily, He emptied Himself. He became a servant. He became a man. He became an obedient servant man. And He died on the cross. See, the text tells us who He was, who He is. He's God. But then the text tells us this is what He voluntarily did. He died. Like a man, like a servant, voluntarily on the cross for sins He did not commit. All for you and me. Did Jesus esteem others better than Himself? Did Jesus look out for the interests of others more than His own? You see, Jesus is the supreme example of humility. He is who we ought to be. And He lived like we ought to live. Now, this text tells us, yes, this is who He was. But this text tells us, this is what He voluntarily became. And the text is telling us, this is who I need to become. I have no bragging rights like Jesus did.
I have no credentials to put on the table like Jesus did. I cannot claim equality with God. I cannot make any of the statements or claims that Jesus, all rightfully, divinely, could claim. But look at what he did to Satan. And if Jesus could do that and humble himself that way, he's my example, then what's expected of me? I can do no less. You see the great truth of this text also is that Jesus shows for us, number one, a total disregard for himself, and number two, a passionate regard for all others. That's a lot about what humility is. That's a lot about esteeming others better than self. That's a lot about lowliness of mind. That's a lot about looking out for the interests of others. Having a disregard for self and a deep regard for others. And Jesus, that's who he was. This is what he voluntarily became. But then the text tells us, number three, who he is now. As you begin working down in the text and you get down to verse 9, notice it starts with the words therefore. Because of all these facts that are true, and you have to go all the way back up to where we started, verses 1 through 4. This is who the Bible is encouraging us to come. This is who the Spirit of God, by the inspiration of Paul's writing, is encouraging you and me to become. The person who has lowliness of mind. The person who looks out for the interest of others. The person who does not have selfish ambition or conceit. The person who doesn't have any of those negative characteristics that we would define as prideful, sinful, foolish, selfish. Jesus is the example. And because this is who he was, and then this is who he became, number three, look at who he is now. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. The idea there is anyone, anywhere, anytime must acknowledge Jesus is Lord. This is who he is now. And he deserves the place where he is. Because with all humility and lowliness of mind, with no selfish ambition and no conceit, he looked out for our interests. He cared for us when we didn't even care for self. He loved us before we even loved him. And he gives us the supreme example of humility. And that's who he is now. You see, this exaltation that he had was a divine act. God raised him from the death that he died in obedience. God raised him from the dead. And God gave him this name now that is above every other name. The name that says that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Verse 11, Jesus Christ is Lord. And all of that is to the glory of God the Father. And the Spirit of God is communicating all of this through this inspired message in Philippians chapter 2. That God became one of us. And that God died for our sins that he didn't commit. And that God then was raised up. And now given a name that is above every other name, that only God could do what God did. There was no other man. There was no other person. There was no other possibility. There was no other solution
to our sin problem. Only God could do what God did. And God did it. And in so doing, He gives us the ultimate example of humility and love and unselfishness and care and concern. That is how much God loves you. That is how much God cares for you. That is how much Jesus did for you. Everything. Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it all. His lowliness of mind, with no selfish ambition, with no conceit, esteeming us better than himself, and looking out for the interests of you and me. That is where we begin to learn humility. In the person, both divine and human, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did all of that for you. Jesus did all of that for each and every one of us, so that you and I might have the great opportunity, ultimately, to live forever with Him. This is not about something that God did, you know, so He could have some kind of great story to tell. Not about something that He did so He could have some kind of great and fantastic vision of things that would make everyone envious of Him. This was all with you in mind. This was about your soul. This was about your heart. This was about your salvation. This was about your sin. This was about your opportunity and your only hope, because only God could do what God did, and He did it. And He did it for you. Now, will you look out at the world and find anybody that would do for you what God has done? Can you find anybody who could possibly do for you what God has done? This God, this faith, will you bow your knee? And with your tongue, will you confess Jesus Christ is Lord? If you've never obeyed the gospel, with all lowliness of mind, humble your heart and come before Him today. Turn from your sins. Sins that have, the price has been paid. The debt has been canceled. If you will obey the gospel. If you will turn to Him. You have nothing to lose. And everything to gain. We come this morning